I'm Kathleen Dunn on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Joining us in just a moment, the author of Happy Money, The Science of Happier Spending. Michael Norton will be joining us. He's an associate professor of marketing at the Harvard Business School, and he's going to be in Madison later this week for the Madison Community Foundation event, Madison Gives 2016. The book is filled with really interesting ideas about money. And what they have done is looked at how money is spent really all over the world and come together with five principles that offer a scientifically validated means of increasing happiness. So what should grown-ups do with their money? They'll offer some, Michael will, some very interesting ideas as we explore all of that in just a few moments here on the Ideas Network. I'm Kathleen Dunn. As you probably know, with Lisa Nalbandian, and this is also our spring membership drive. You rely on us every single day for these really interesting, in-depth discussions, and I must tell you that we rely on you to keep these programs on the air. So your gift of any amount will make a very big difference, and an important difference. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Kathleen, last hour we heard from 20 new and returning members.
Great.
We did. Thank you so much for those pledges. And right now, it's one of your favorites, Kathleen, a dollar-for-dollar match up to $1,500. This generous match is from current members, including 9XM Leadership Circle member Robert Hauserman from Appleton, and it means they'll match every dollar you give up to $1,500.
It's their way of encouraging you to join them in supporting Wisconsin Public Radio, and you know what this means. It's double your money. So if you give $5, it's $10. If it's $10, $20, you got the story. It's doubling your support, so it's a perfect hour to give. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
You know, you can get headlines and sound bites in so many other places, but where else can you go for in-depth discussion?
Well, you go here,
the
Ideas Network, of course. You don't just get a 20-second clip or a few minutes of back and forth. You get lots of time to develop ideas, to ask questions of the guests. The hours are wonderful. They are so informative and so in-depth. And it's your support, WPR.org, 888-202-2552, that makes it all possible.
And during the spring membership drive, we have a very special thank you gift. Ask to plant a tree as your gift when you give $5 a month or a one-time gift of $60.
Excellent. I love these plant a tree.
Yeah, they're nice.
The Torah says you should plant a tree, write a book, have a child for a fulfilling life or variation on one of those. So this is perfect. It can make you have a fulfilled life.
Aww.
If you plant a tree. Isn't that good?
Set.
Yeah. Your thank you gift will support Wisconsin's Forests for the Future Fund. This is great. It's a DNR forestry program that plants trees all over the state. So make a pledge, grow a tree, double your money, donate now, feel good, WPR.org, 888-202-2552 or WPR.org.
Can't buy me love.
All right, so pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. This is our spring membership drive. Lisa Nalbandian is with me. And your gift might be $10 a month, $20 a month. We thank you for whatever your gift is.
And the beauty of making a voluntary donation is that you decide how much to give, because how much you give isn't nearly as important as the fact that you do give.
How true. Contributing is your choice, and you do this because you value WPR. You'll probably find that when you donate, you'll be feeling good about it. Find out right now, why don't you? WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Many new members give $5 or $10 a month, but you can decide the amount that's right for you.
We know that physical exercise, you know, it's an important part of staying healthy, and so is mental exercise. Getting your daily mental workout is easy when you listen to Wisconsin Public Radio.
Listening to WPR keeps your brain in great shape. I think that's really true. So your gift of any amount will help pay for the programs, keep your brain healthy, keep WPR healthy. WPR.org is the place to go, or 888-202-2552.
And we mentioned this earlier. We have a dollar-for-dollar match in effect right now from current members, including 9XM Leadership Circle member Robert Hauserman from Appleton. Your gift of $50 turns into $100.
I like it.
Yeah, $100 turns into $200 and so on. Take advantage of this match right now. Double your support for WPR programs when you give at WPR.org or by calling 888-202-2552.
Get the amount that's right for you if you need some help figuring that out. Well, think about this. Say you hear three things a day that you are really glad you heard. If you paid a dime for each one of these, it would work out to about $10 a month. That's good, huh?
That's perfect.
It's good, yeah.
Yeah.
That's great. It's a whole different way of thinking about time, and time is one of the things we're going to be talking about in a moment. Make that contribution right now, WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
Our dollar-for-dollar match is in effect. Give right now, WPR.org, 888-202-2552, and your support of WPR will go twice as far.
I've just learned a lot by listening to public radio. I feel like I can use it. It's something I can use in my life and learn more or do something different or think differently. It kind of runs in my family. My mom listens to public radio. My dad listens to public radio. My brother listens to public radio, although I think he's unlucky because he lives in New York and we have the best public radio here. I've traveled around the country and this is the best. I'm Katie Simonson from Burlington. Wisconsin Public Radio is my source for news and information.
Thank you, Katie. And please join Katie with your pledge and ask to plant a tree as your gift when you give $5 a month. It's good. It's all good. Or a one-time gift of $60, WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
Danielle from Ashland says, thank you, Kathleen. Your program is my favorite show.
Oh, thanks, Danielle.
I listen every day. Well, thank you so much, Danielle. So join Danielle from Ashland, WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
Thank you, everybody. Thanks so much. We can't be here without you. Just remember that. Thanks so much, Lisa. And we are going to talk about money this portion of our program. What the heck? I made a mistake. I played the wrong thing. I wanted to play the Beatles. And now I'm going to have to wait a minute to play the Beatles. Darn it. At any rate, we're going to be talking about money this hour of the program. And, of course, they would tell us that money can't buy you love. We're speaking with the author of Happy Money, The Science of Happier Spending. Michael Norton is our guest, co-author of the book, Associate Professor of Marketing at the Harvard Business School and member of Harvard's Behavioral Insights Group. He's in Madison later this week for the Madison Community Foundation event. And the book offers five principles for a scientifically validated means of increasing happiness. The authors decided to work together to understand what grown-ups usually do with their money and could they spend their money in less typical but happier ways. So we're talking about that this hour, and we'll be welcoming phone calls for our guest, Michael. Our number is 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. Hi, Michael. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thanks for having me. I'm very sad that we're not going to hear the Beatles now.
No, we are.
I messed up,
because we're in a pledge drive, and I was playing something else, and the whole thing was out of order, but we'll play the Beatles, and I promise about 5 minutes.
You know what? It's hard to follow the Beatles anyway, so it's probably better for me this way.
Okay. So I think this is wonderful what you did. You decided you were going to dole out cash to strangers, but you made them spend it how you wanted. I love this story. What did you do?
Yeah, my co-author Liz Dunn and I had this really, it turned out to be simple but complicated question, which was just like, if you found $20 in the street, what should you do with it today to make yourself the happiest? And we asked a bunch of people, you know, what would you do, what would you do? And people told us all kinds of things. And a lot of people told us that what they would do with it was buy something for themselves. You know, they said, I'd get myself a treat or I'd buy myself a coffee. And we thought, that's okay. I mean, you know, we like coffee too. But I wonder if there's other things that people could do with their money than what we usually do, which is, you know, buy ourselves a coffee and buy ourselves stuff.
Right.
That might actually make them happier. And we had this idea, as you said, well, let's just give people that $20. And tell different people to do different things. You know, send everyone out on a mission in the world, give them different tasks to do with the $20, literally call them up that night and say, how happy are you? Ask them what they did and just start to kind of rank things in the world to see really what gives us the happiest day.
Yeah, that's great. And you also at one point have us think about, and I don't think we think about time this way. You talk about money buying time, but you ask us to think about what's the number of minutes we have in a day, 1,400 something?
Let's go with that.
All right, something like that. To think about all of those minutes and what we might be able to do with our money in order to enhance the time that we have, all of those minutes.
Yeah, absolutely. We've done a lot of research on how people spend their time. And people think, for example, you'd think that these really rich people, they spend all their time on doing the things they really like, vacationing and their hobbies and all that stuff.
Right.
When you look at the data, it turns out they work just as much as the rest of us, and they don't spend any more time on the things that they really like to do. And that's a little odd because sometimes people say, well, what I want to do is work to have enough money to do the things I love. But it seems like along the way we kind of forget that, and people don't seem to use their money in ways that improve their time. And so a lot of our research is about really trying to help people solve that tricky problem as well.
Yeah. You write about certain companies, and I'd like to hear more about this, please. Patagonia, Home Depot, others who have developed strategies to give their employees, even employees who are really, really busy, a sense of time. And there have been some great creations because they've been given that sense of time.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I think often, again, when we think of, just like when we get money for ourselves, we think, what can I get for myself? When companies think about rewarding their employees, they think, how much money should we give them? Let's give them some sales targets or let's give them a bonus if they do really well. And I wish everyone gets a bonus, don't get me wrong, but time is really more valuable than money.
Right.
So imagine if you did a great job and instead of getting some small monetary bonus, you got instead, you can come in an hour late every day this week, or you have to leave an hour early every day this week, or even something like none of your coworkers can bother you for an hour, and you can pick whatever hour that might be. When you start to think about your day in terms of that, it can really change your day. So, for example, single parents, being able to go to work an hour late for an entire week
might
be an amazing game changer how difficult your week is. Or imagine you have kind of one day that you can use whenever you want to come in late with no penalty, no questions asked. If that's the morning when your kid is sick and having trouble getting going, these time rewards can really be more emotionally impactful than saying, here's $20 or $50, thanks for doing a good job.
Yeah. And what was it they did? Was it Google? They gave employees time to do whatever they wanted to do, and they developed some amazing things.
Yeah, so Google had this interesting, for their engineers, they gave them, they in a way forced them to spend 20% of their time on their own projects. So they want people to, 80% of their time is still on the stuff their boss says, hey, we got to finish this by Friday. But they wanted to have their employees have this sense of at least 20% of their time would be working on their pet projects. And the idea is two things. One is that might make the 80% of time more productive because you wouldn't feel that you were always slogging through boring things. But also that sometimes the things they develop in that 20% might end up informing things that the business is doing. And in a way, everybody wins by using those sorts of time incentives.
Mm-hmm. Every time I go to a shopping center, and I'm sure this is true for you, Michael, I can't believe how many people are there. I can't believe how many Americans spend so much of their lives buying stuff. They're in stores and they're buying stuff. And you suggest early on that we may want to shift our lives from buying stuff to buying experiences. What do you mean by that?
Yeah, I think, when we ask people what they would do with 20 bucks, often what they do is they want to run to the mall and buy something because
right.
We love to go to the mall. And, there's nothing, of course we should buy things for ourselves, of course, there's nothing wrong with it. The idea, though, is that maybe we do a little too much of that, and maybe some of that money we could spend on other things that might make us a little bit happier. And lots of research now over the last decade really seems to show that on average, for most people, most of the time, buying yourself an experience, vacations are great, don't get me wrong, but even a small experience like going out for dinner, going out for lunch with a friend, those things seem to pay off in a lot more happiness than taking that exact same amount of money and buying yourself another thing.
Mm-hmm. is a theme that runs through quite a bit of the book, actually, that when we look at those experiences that make us happiest, I know it's true in my life, that if we're having meaningful conversations and good times with friends, you don't have to be doing anything fancy or drinking a fancy cup of coffee. You can just be with somebody and brew a pot of your own and sit down somewhere and have a really good chat.
Absolutely. And, you know, you look at the data for what makes people happy with their lives, and almost always one of the very strongest predictors is, do you have friends and family who you care about and who care about you? I mean, there's really no, even though we might grumble about our coworkers and friends and family members sometimes, it turns out they're incredibly important for our happiness. And by the way, it's not just people we're close to. There was a wonderful study from the University of Chicago. They randomly assigned people to either do their commute as usual on the subway, or they had to talk to someone who they didn't know on their commute. Now, what people said is, oh, my God, that's going to be terrible because it's going to have to talk to this stranger, and they're going to be a weirdo, and it's going to be awful. It turns out that when you talk to someone on your commute, you end up having a better commute than if you don't. Because what are you doing instead? You're just on your phone reading stupid. Me too. You're just on your phone reading stupid stuff. At least if you talk to a new person, you smile, you might laugh. They ask you some questions. You ask them some questions. You know, it's not like you fall in love, but it's actually a better experience even chatting with strangers than it is keeping to yourself and focusing on yourself.
And who knows, Michael, you might fall in love.
You could. 8 a.m. commute on the crowded subway is the best place to fall in love, but you never know. You never know.
You just never know about that. We're talking this hour of the program with Michael Norton. And Michael is the co-author of Happy Money, The Science of Happier Spending. Co-author is Elizabeth Dunn. That was my grandmother's name, Elizabeth Dunn. I'll have to meet her sometime. She's a great woman, and I'm sure this co-author is great, too, so we'll have to talk to each other at some point. We're welcoming phone calls. The book looks at a lot of different issues of how we can buy time. We should be investing in experiences instead of investing in stuff, which we're all guilty of. Investing in others, which provides bigger happiness boost than spending money on yourself, although you do need to spend some money on yourself. But we'll talk about examples of investing in others. There are many in this book. And so that's what's on the docket this hour. And here's how you reach us. Did I give you the number? 800-486-8655. 800-486-8655. And during our spring membership drive, this is also a good time to invest in others, meaning invest in us, because we're investing in these ideas all the time, right? This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We're in our spring membership drive, and your support is so important to us. It is what makes Wisconsin Public Radio stay on the air. It's your place for great programming. Our guest will be with us again in just a moment. First, Lisa Nalbandian is with me, and we're encouraging you to go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552 right now and make your gift in support of the programs you count on. And it's a very important hour, Lisa, right?
It is. We have a dollar-for-dollar match this hour, up to $1,500. It's a great time to pledge because we have current members, including 9XM Leadership Circle member Robert Hauserman from Appleton, who will double every dollar you give. And you know why they do this? Because they know that it helps inspire you to give. So double the impact of your pledge right now at WPR.org or by calling 888-202-2552.
I know you listen to this program for so many reasons, for our political conversations during this presidential year, to talk about happy money, to talk about the asteroid that hit Earth 66 million years ago. I mean, every day it's something. We just learn things. Every day it's great. We sink our teeth into really wonderful, important topics.
It could be interviews that we recently did with Wisconsin veterans. Maybe it's the historical topics, national politics, or even international news that just isn't getting enough attention elsewhere. You can get all the information you need right here. This kind of substance, this kind of conversation, it only happens with your support. So make your contribution right now, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And we've got these two things going on this hour. We have a dollar-for-dollar match up to $1,500, so it's double your money. This is really a great hour for you to give. And also, I love this. This is just a wonderful thank you thing for everybody, for the Earth. You can plant a tree as well when you give $5 a month or a one-time gift of $60. You're pledging to us. You're planting a tree. It doesn't get much better.
It really doesn't. So your thank you gift will help maintain Wisconsin State Forests. So do two good things, like Kathleen mentioned, with your gift to WPR. Make a pledge. Grow a tree. Do it all at WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
You may not be aware, which is understandable, that it is you provide the biggest share of WPR's budget. It's your donation and your investment in our programs that deliver the greatest value to you and to us.
That's right. Your contribution keeps public service radio, independent radio, on the air for you and for the entire community. Give right now. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
I've just learned a lot by listening to public radio. I feel like I can use it. It's something I can use in my life and learn more or do something different or think differently. It kind of runs in my family. My mom listens to public radio. My dad listens to public radio. My brother listens to public radio, although I think he's unlucky because he lives in New York and we have the best public radio here. I've traveled around the country and this is the best. I'm Katie Simonson from Burlington. Wisconsin Public Radio is my source for news and information.
Go to WPR.org, 888-202-2552 to make your pledge. I'm Kathleen Dunn with Lisa Nalbandian, and we're simply asking for your support of WPR. $10, $15 a month, whatever you choose to invest in us, it's appreciated very much, very, very much.
Your support, it's important for so many reasons. I'm sure you can name off a bunch, but one of them you might not think of immediately is that it helps pay for equipment upgrades.
Mm-hmm.
And what that means to you and all your fellow listeners is that you get a clear signal, statewide news coverage, a useful website at WPR.org, and so much more.
Your support helps us stay current so you get the programs you depend on, as well as those extras like our mobile app. Be a part of keeping WPR strong and relevant and technologically up to date with your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Whether you're already a member or maybe you're making your first pledge right now, anyone can become a sustainer. Let us know what monthly amount works for you and whether you want that to come from your credit card or your bank account.
It's really easy, and once it's set up, your membership automatically renews, so you don't have to worry if it's your time to pledge or not. Start your sustaining membership right now, WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
You've already made the decision to listen to Wisconsin Public Radio, and now it's time to make the decision to support WPR financially. It's as simple as that. You just have to decide and make the call. You really, really can help. So join, renew, make an extra gift. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
And Lisa, just a reminder to everybody, that dollar for dollar match is still in effect. It's a great hour. It's double your dough. Give now, WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
And this pledge drive, support the radio you love and give something extra. You can ask to plant a tree as your gift when you give $5 a month or a one-time gift of $60. So remember, your gift can be doubled. You can have a great thank you gift by planting a tree. Do it all. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
A listener from DePere said, I grew up listening to WPR since my mom was always a big fan, and I'm happy to say that my radio never leaves WPR. Thank you for providing and promoting well-informed news and current event topics. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Listener from DePere. Well, you can do the same. WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Gracias. Merci. What else can I say it in?
German.
Go ahead.
I don't know. You did the two languages I know.
Okay. Well, we got those too. Thanks, Lisa, very much. This hour of the program, we're speaking with the author of Happy Money, The Science of Happier Spending. Elizabeth Dunn is the co-author, and Michael Norton is with us. Michael is the associate professor of marketing at the Harvard Business School.
Can't buy me love.
So, diamond ring, Michael, meaningless? You think?
The other things you can do that make you a little bit happier than buying a diamond ring.
Okay. That's good to know.
The diamond ring industry is going to be calling me tomorrow, but I think the research shows that that's true.
But you also see some things that go against common wisdom, because early in the book, you talk about owning a home.
Yeah, so I think, and unfortunately also owning a car, when you look at all of the data on car ownership and home ownership, it's not that bigger houses and nicer cars make us less happy. It's just that they don't seem to make us any happier. So if you look at the data, the size of your house, there's no relationship between that and how happy you are with your life. And it's the same with how nice your car is. There's just no relationship. Which is okay, except the problem is that those are the two biggest purchases that most people ever make, a house and a car, and they don't seem to be changing our lives that much overall, which again suggests maybe stuff, even a great house that we love, even a car that we enjoy, isn't necessarily the best investment to increase our happiness.
Mm-hmm. And at the risk of sounding terribly self-serving, but that's fine with me because I think what we do is worthwhile. But this whole idea of investing in others, you talk about Bill Gates and Warren Buffett sitting on a park bench talking about giving away all their money. But this idea, even if it's small, of getting a coffee gift card and deciding you're going to treat somebody else to the cup of coffee makes you happy?
It really does. So we spoke earlier about this idea of, you know, giving people $20 and telling them to do all sorts of different stuff and seeing what makes people happiest. Well, it turns out that one of the things that makes people happiest over the course of a single day is if we tell you, here's $20, or even as little as $5, go out with this money, and your only job today is, and don't spend it on yourself, spend it on somebody else. Mm-hmm. It turns out that those people who we encourage to spend on somebody else, those people end up happier. And they do all kinds of things. You know, they give money to homeless people, to street performers. They buy presents for their friends. They treat people to lunch. All kinds of different ways of being what we call pro-social instead of kind of focused on yourself. All of those ways seem to lead to more happiness than, again, going out and buying yourself your 19th coffee of the day.
Mm. And when you're a recipient, I was a recipient of one of those pay it forward. I was missing like 20 cents or something from a lunch a couple months ago. And the person in front of the line saw me, and I didn't see her. I wasn't noticing what she was doing. I was trying to scrounge at the bottom of my purse for some extra money. And I finally didn't find it and was going to say to the people, I'll be back tomorrow, I promise, or in an hour. And they said, don't worry about it. She just bought your lunch. And I have remembered that forever now. She bought my lunch. I didn't even know this person. She bought my whole lunch. It was such a good thing. I just love when that happens.
And one of the other things we say, you know, if you think about it, when you buy something for yourself, even if you love it, it just ends with you.
Yes.
Whereas if you buy something for somebody else, not only do we show that it makes you happy to give to somebody else, but obviously someone else is happy also. So if you think about the total happiness from $5, mm-hmm. buying it for yourself, it ends with you. Spending on somebody else, you have two people involved, each of whom can have emotional benefits from that action.
Yeah. So how many of the world's billionaires took up the challenge from Bill Gates and Warren Buffett to donate their money?
It's an increasing number, but it's not the majority. So I think there's an interesting organization in the United States. I believe they're called the Patriotic Millionaires, and they advocate for higher taxes on the wealthy as well. So there are these interesting movements among even the very wealthy to say giving back or giving is a better way to behave than focusing on ourselves. I'm not sure how widely adopted that is, by the way, either by millionaires or by all the rest of us who could probably give a little bit more money to charity ourselves.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's go to some phone calls, starting with Jim in Rice Lake. Hi, Jim.
Hi, Kathleen. This is a freaking view. I agree. It's difficult to be the person to follow the Beatles. But that aside, I'm in a legal profession, and they had a survey of satisfaction, a career satisfaction, and it was related partially to compensation, but it wasn't entirely directly correlative. What they found was that people wanted to make a certain amount of money, but people who were in the public sector, what we call the middle-class public sector, had a greater level of job satisfaction, less burnout, less job change, stress, et cetera, because it was related to both flexibility and relationship of purpose to the job, as opposed to the high-end private sector. And I think that has been shown in statistics about the legal profession nationally, and I just would like to get your guest comments on that point.
Michael.
There's a wonderful, just reminded of a New Yorker cartoon of a kind of wealthy-looking guy on his deathbed, and he says to the people around him, "I wish I'd worked more."
Right.
And, of course, the reason that's funny is because nobody would ever say at the end of their life, I wish I'd worked more. They say things like, I wish I'd spent more time with family. I wish I'd spent more time on the things I really cared about. Jobs that allow us to do that, so jobs, as the caller said, that are flexible, jobs that have some sense of purpose that connects to something important to us, those tend to be the jobs that also make us happier, not only with our job, although the data suggests that, but also with our lives in general. We spend so much of our lives at work that separating work off from our everyday lives and trying to lead a happy life, if you can figure it out right and have your job reflect some of those important things, those are also the things that then make you have a happier life when you're outside of work.
Well, Michael, are many of those kinds of jobs available in this economy?
They are not. So it's extremely difficult. Although, again, what's interesting that we see in the data is even when people have jobs where they could have more flexibility or they might be able to work less, they still keep working just as much. So they kind of get in a trap of, if I work more and make more money, then I'll finally be happy. Very few people try to look and say, is this really maximizing my overall happiness for my life?
Mm-hmm. Jim, thanks very much for your call. Eugene in Viola. Hi, Eugene.
Hello, Kathleen. This
Hi,
is a different
Gene.
Comment than the one I gave. This is one I happened to think of while I was on the line. But when I was growing up, when I was very small, my happy money was my allowance. To get that allowance, I had to do chores. No chores, no happy money. And that was a pretty good incentive to get things done.
So you did your chores. What'd you do with the money, Eugene?
I saved some of it by the time I got out of seventh grade in the early 50s, finished fish, I had $50 in the bank. I sold clovering salve, and I worked for the farmer we rented from, driving from steering tractor.
Oh. Michael, what do you say about that?
I love that call because we have some new research that actually suggests that. So you can think about the amount of money you have or the amount of money you make in your job or even the amount you get for your allowance as making you, you know, happy or unhappy. Is it enough? What do you do with the money? But one of the things that we found lately in our research is one of the things that matters for your happiness with your money is whether you earned it or not. So we have some data from a sample of believe it or not, of millionaires who, for whatever reason, agreed to fill out our surveys and tell us about their lives. And it turns out that millionaires aren't actually that much happier than the rest of us, except if they earned their money as opposed to inherited it, they're much happier. So there's some feeling that we have as humans where when we work for the money we get and then use it for things, that seems to make us happier than if the money's given to us, we didn't have to work for it, and we can do whatever we want. So allowance is interesting because sometimes it's given without work and sometimes it's given only if you do some chores. That's probably going to matter in terms of how people feel about it.
Hmm. Thanks, Eugene, so much for your call. We welcome phone calls. It may be a way to ask this is if you were given $20, maybe after listening to this program with Michael, you would have changed your mind, but somehow you came into $20. Or you won the lottery and you came into a lot of money. We can go that high, too. What would you do with it? What do you think would buy you happiness? If anything could buy you happiness, what would you do? We welcome your phone calls, and you can respond to anything that Michael has been talking about. Our phone number is 800-486-8655. Michael Norton is co-author of Happy Money, The Science of Happier Spending. You spend a lot of time, and most of us in this country are really in deep credit card debt. You recommend that we might be happier if we can pay for things up front, Michael.
That's right. So I think, of course, given the state of the economy, of course, many people are in debt and need to be in debt in order just to make ends meet.
Yeah.
Of course. So I don't mean to suggest that everyone who is in debt should have just not been in debt, because there's very difficult decisions. But we also see in some of our data that people who don't need to be in debt, who could in fact pay for things up front rather than put them on their credit card, we still sort of habitually just kind of swipe our credit card now and worry about
yes.
paying later. And the idea is that, in fact, when you can, if you are able to pay for things up front long before you consume what you bought,
mm-hmm.
that increases your happiness. And my favorite example of this that many people have experienced is a prepaid cruise. So you pay for the cruise 6 months before it happens, and then you go on the cruise, and people say everything was free. they feel as though they get free drinks, they get free food, they get to do whatever they want. They know they paid. I mean, we're not idiots. Of course, we know we paid. But when you pay that far in advance, kind of the pain of the paying is gone,
mm-hmm.
and all that's left is enjoying the experience. Whereas when you put the trip on your credit card and you then go on the cruise, in a way, every minute on the cruise, you're kind of thinking about the bill coming due later on, and that can interfere with how happy the cruise makes you.
Mm-hmm. American, you remind us, household average of more than $6,000 in credit card debt in 2010. I bet it's even higher now.
I bet it is, yeah. And again, some of it has to be there to make ends meet. Sometimes people are putting a little bit on there that they maybe could take off and get a little bit more happiness.
So we are happier if we delay our happiness just a little bit. You talk about something even as simple as a Hershey Kiss. If we can wait just a little while to eat it, and you remind us of Chocolate Factory. Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, that I'm trying to remember the name, that if we can delay just a little bit, that Hershey Kiss or that little bite that we get to take today and let make it last for a month will be even better.
Absolutely. There's a great experiment by my co-author Liz Dunn where they, so imagine, think about this. If you were going to be in some research with us, would you rather be in which of these two versions? One is you come in and meet us, and we give you a huge bag of chocolate, and you can eat however much of the chocolate you want over the next week. The other version is you come in and we give you nothing. And then at the end of a week, you have to come back in. Now, everybody says, I'll take the chocolate. Of course, me too. I mean, chocolate's great. I would love chocolate.
Right.
But here's the trick. When people come back in after a week, we give them chocolate. And the question then is, who enjoys that chocolate more? And it turns out that people who had chocolate all week, they just had way too much chocolate, and now they're chocolated out. And so another piece of chocolate does nothing to them. It's almost as though it never happened. But the people who had to kind of give up chocolate for a week and the, you know, we didn't give you a bag of chocolate, when they have that Hershey's Kiss, it's like a peak experience. You know, when you give things up for a while and then come back to them, the taste, the experience, the excitement of that is so much better than consuming it all along.
Mm-hmm.
We call that principle make it a treat. The idea is that if you give things up for a bit and then come back, you really enhance your emotional experience much more than if you just keep consuming them all along.
Hmm. Take that into other realms of our lives, too, beyond chocolate.
It really does. I mean, we've actually looked. So one of the places we often look for insight is to religion. And most religions have some form in them or another where you give something up for a little while and then you come back to it. And when you chat with people, you know, people will say, bread never tasted so good as when I gave it up for a while and then got to eat it again.
Mm-hmm.
So we know this is true because many people, even through their religious experiences, have had a moment where they gave things up and then really liked coming back to it, but they don't seem to apply it in the rest of their lives, and the rest of us also don't seem to apply it either. The one place where it's difficult to apply is in relationships. It's a little bit hard to take a break and then come back. But for most things that we consume in the world, we're actually perfectly able to take a break and then come back to it later.
Let's go to Andrew next in Fond du Lac. Hi, Andrew.
Hi. Just something that might tie in with your conversation. I'm at a gas station, gassing up my car. I'm looking a couple pumps away, and there's a young kid, I'll call him for lack of a better way to put it, and I see the pump stopped at $2 or $3. So he goes in a car, digs around, comes back out, pumps some more gas. He's going through this. So I go back in to pay for my gas, and I see he's at the line trying to pay for it. He's counting out change. There's a big, long line of people behind him. They open another cash register, so I just slipped them what cash I had, you know? It just seemed right. And then I left, and I couldn't believe it. He actually stopped and thanked me. But it was, you know, the best $20 ever spent. So that's about it. Thanks.
Yeah, thanks, Andrew. And it stayed with Andrew. It'll always stay with Andrew, right, Michael?
It will, and it will also stay with that young kid that Andrew helped out today. And again, especially, I don't know what Andrew would have spent the money on, but probably not something as meaningful and as valuable as what he just chose to spend that money on for both him and the young kid who he helped out.
Yeah. Thanks, Andrew, for your call. Let's go to Cassandra in La Crosse. Hi, Cassandra.
Hello. I just figured that I would share, like, every day on Mother's Day, which is just a couple days ago, I go out and I buy a couple dozen roses, and I give them out to random moms for Mother's Day. That's kind of, I don't know, I don't have a mom to be able to go and give that flowers to anymore, so I just like brightening up other people's day by just randomly, hey, happy Mother's Day, here's a rose, kind of thing, and that makes me the happiest to be able to do that and see the smile on other people's faces. This year, there were three people that stuck out in my mind, and one of them, her mother had just died 2 days ago, and just the sheer joy and, like, thanks from her was so worth it to me, and that, I don't know, that just makes me happy.
Sure.
So I just figured that I would share. So,
thank you. Thanks very much for calling.
Yes, no problem.
Yeah. Sharing is great. Yeah, it's nice, isn't it, Michael?
I love that story, and I think, you know, especially giving in moments of possible sadness for other people, if
right.
you think about, you know, improving happiness overall again. I mean, of course, it's nice to buy people something at any point, but to buy something for someone, give them that gift when they're really struggling with a recent loss.
Mm-hmm.
Again, you can really see how giving just emotionally resonates so much more than anything we could ever do for ourselves.
How true. Barbara in Two Rivers. Hi.
Hello. I am in a quandary about giving. I usually donate $10 to $15 to different charities. Hello?
Yeah, we're here.
Oh, okay. I usually donate $10 to $15 to a few of my favorite charities. And I happened to get a gift of a substantial amount of money, and I didn't need it, so I started, you know, so I gave $100 to some of these charities. And now I am bombarded with all these solicitations, and instead of asking for $10, $15, they ask for $100, $150. I don't have it. It's just a one-time amount that I could give away. And I am kind of soured now on answering any of these mailings and solicitations, even from the reputable charities.
Well, the other way to look at it, isn't it? Those people need money, and you've been generous before, so where else they're going to go to people they can count on, in a way? I mean, I understand you're being everybody who gives something gets a lot of those, certainly, but it's their way of doing business, right?
Well, when you keep getting the same asking for money from different charities, and they all have, sometimes they'll have like a little packet of greeting cards or notepads, and you almost feel guilty, you know, if you just throw it away. And if I get a large amount of money now, I'm not sure what I really would want to do with it.
Well, what should you do with it to be happy, Michael?
I do think that, so we work with lots and lots of nonprofits and charities to think about how they engage their donors with giving. And you're right that, that very often the experience of giving is, you know, you give some money to a charity. You don't really know what happens with the money because you don't kind of get an update. And then you get, you know, emails and snail mail for years and years and years. And you might think, you know, well, why do they keep contacting me? I've already given to them. One of the things that we really try to do with nonprofits is to try to imagine, instead of getting, you know, you give to a charity that you care about and then they just keep asking you for more money, if instead what they did was they gave you an update of what happened with the money you gave.
That's a good idea.
And I think that we see, and we've seen in our research, that one of the reasons that people give, there's lots of reasons, but one of them is that we really want to have a positive impact on other people,
sure,
whether we know them, whether we don't know them, and a positive impact on the world. And part of our motivation for giving is that. And when sometimes when we give to charities, again, we don't see the positive impact, so we start to feel like we're not getting what we wanted, which is, you know, mm-hmm, I really helped somebody. So when nonprofits, and we work with nonprofits to try to really figure out how can we tell people what their $15 or their $100 mm-hmm really did, so that when we're asking them again, we're not just bugging them. We're saying, do you want to help us do that again?
Yeah, it's a good idea. Michael, thank you very much for being with us today.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
The book is Happy Money, The Science of Happier Spending. The co-author, Michael Norton, our guest this hour. I'm Kathleen Down with Lisa Nalbandian, and we are happy. And this is the Wisconsin Public Radio Spring Membership Drive. You count on us for so many wonderful discussions, and we count on you, your gift of any amount that will make all of our discussions available to you. Give now at WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
We have a dollar-for-dollar match this hour,
we
Kathleen.
Do indeed.
And, oh, my goodness, I think... Let me look. I think we just made it.
Oh, we did. All
right.
Look
at that.
Good, good.
Great. Well, keep the pledges coming. So, and go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We thank you so much for all of your pledges, and let's just get as many as we can during the course of this hour. You've been enjoying the conversation mm-hmm about happy money, and it's an example of the, you know, interesting, fun programs, I think, and meaningful programs in the long term that we have on this show.
That's right. So take a few minutes to make this hour and many more hours like it possible. Choose a gift amount that works for you. That's the most important thing. Choose an amount that works for you. Then make your pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You can do two good things when you give to Wisconsin Public Radio today. Your donation will support the programs that you hear every single day. And you can plant a tree when you give $5 a month.
Yeah, it's kind of a neat thank you gift. You can choose to support Wisconsin's Forest for the Future Fund, which is a DNR program that plants trees throughout the state. So make a pledge and grow a tree. It all starts with your gift right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I've just learned a lot by listening to public radio. I feel like I can use it. It's something I can use in my life and learn more or do something different or think differently. It kind of runs in my family. My mom listens to public radio. My dad listens to public radio. My brother listens to public radio, although I think he's unlucky because he lives in New York and we have the best public radio here. I've traveled around the country and this is the best. I'm Katie Simonson from Burlington. Wisconsin Public Radio is my source for news and information.
Make your donation in support of the programs that you count on. WPR.org, 888-202-2552. I'm Kathleen Dunn with Lisa Nalbandian. And we're here simply to raise the money that keeps our station on the air. Your pledge might be $5 a month, $100 a month. We do appreciate your gift, and we count on your gift.
Maybe you can make a 9XM Leadership Circle contribution of $100 a month or more. Listeners who rely on Wisconsin Public Radio are the most dependable source of income for this station, and 9XM members are an important part of that picture.
So help us stay very strong and continue to get even stronger with a leadership gift at WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
WPR is your daily companion. We're on the air 24 hours a day, whether you're at home, in the car, at the office, whether you're concentrating or just relaxing.
And like a good companion, you count on us for accurate news, for intelligent conversation, and we count on you to support what you hear. That's how public radio works. So give now at WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
If you've been listening to WPR for a while without pledging, perhaps it's because you didn't know we're listener supported. Well, we are. We're the single largest piece of our budget comes from listeners. Or maybe you wanted to listen for a while to see if you'd like what you heard.
And then you forgot. You're still listening all these months or years later, and you forgot. So, as I understand, how about a donation now? Your gift of $5 or $10 a month or whatever you can give us, it will make a very big difference to us. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
You might feel like WPR is worth $1 million, and you don't have that much to give. It's okay. Your gift of any amount, whether it's $5 a month or $100 a month, whatever amount is right for you is the right amount to give. The important thing is to make that pledge right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And remember, $5 a month and you can plant a tree as your gift. I love this. Or a one-time gift of $60. A member from West Bend said, Lisa, our family has donated from time to time. We realized it was time to become a sustaining member when we realized WPR is a regular part of our family discussions. Doesn't that happen? And it connects us to the world. We benefit so much from the resources offered. Then you know it's time to give when you're talking about what you heard on the radio.
I think so, especially with your whole family. So thank you so much for your pledge. Make yours right now, WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
Thank you so much, Lisa. Thanks, everybody, for all of your pledges. WPR.org, 888-202-2552. Thanks to KP Whaley for producing Happy Money, the science of happier spending. And thanks to KP for doing on-air production as well. We are with you again tomorrow with two really interesting hours. One, TV ads, pharmaceutical ads, which we hear nonstop. We'll talk about those and more good topics.